I'm so looking forward to the time that God actually helps me in a greater measure to just simply read what's in front of me. So, two notices. Would you continue, please, to pray for AJ and Jackie that they would be all that God's called them to be as they embark on this exciting journey of eldership with us in this church as people that we believe, Susan and I, that God has called for such a time as this. And would you also pray, please, for Susan and myself? We understand that there's times of dryness, isn't there? There's times where, you know, instead of being in the river, you're on the banks of the river. And at the end of this month, Susan and I, we're going off to Wales for a... If I can find it, that is, Nigel. We're going off to Wales for a few days. And we're really believing that God will refresh us, that God will pour into us, that he'll rekindle something. Because for us, we're saying, Lord, there's more than this. Lord, we don't want to come with just words of eloquence, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So would you pray that we would be upheld and sustained, that we would be provided for, that we would be blessed, so that we could be a blessing too. Is that okay? Thank you. Hang on a minute. I don't want you to see my passcode. So I'm just unplugging for a moment. Because you could get access to all sorts of things. Yes, I know. I want to share a message today that has been placed on my heart. And I pray that you'll really grab hold of this. Because if you know me, if you've known me over the years, you'll know that... I do have certain limitations, not just my height, but academic limitations. I have dyslexia, and in one sense, God truly does choose the foolish things to confound the wise. But what happens with me is there's something that's birthed inside, and it comes out as we start to speak. But I was praying last week, and I just want to share something that the Lord said to me some time ago. It was over a year ago now, and... I scribbled a few things down, and I'll try my best to read it out as it was coming to my mind. To the best of my knowledge, this is what happened. Some time ago, when I was concerned and confused with the way life was unfolding around me, I asked the Lord, what's happening? That was my prayer. I remember going out of these gates and just saying, Lord, what's happening? What is going on? And I didn't hear anything to start with. But I did see a picture. And I want to share the picture with you. It was a picture of a river. It was a winding river, a flowing river, a clean river. Then I saw that on the bend of this river, there was silt. And it began to build. And as the silt began to build, weeds began to grow on this dry ground. This restricted the river's flow. If you understand the river as it winds round, as there's a weakness at some point, there's silt that gathers. And that silt over the course of time gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it does affect the flow of the river. And that's the picture that I saw. It affected and restricted the river's flow. Then I saw a tree that had fallen across this river and landed on the silt. So if you imagine you've got on the bank, there's a tree and it falls across and it lands on this dry ground. The water still flowed. But instead of the small, insignificant pieces of twig and rubbish and debris that would normally be washed away, they slowly began to create a dam. As they knitted together because of the tree. If this continued, the result would have been stunted growth and a dry riverbed. So, Lord, I said, what do I do? Now, this bit I'm saying to you. Before I answer that, I need to say that the twigs, the small pieces of debris in themselves, were insignificant. There was not a problem. It was the tree. It's the tree that held them all together. That was the problem. So, Lord, what do I do? Answer. remove the tree. This bit I put in just as something I felt in my heart yesterday to put in. I could have used a handsaw. A handsaw is slow, but it makes little mess and it makes no noise. But God told me to use a chainsaw. It's noisy, it's messy, but it's instant. That suddenly washes away the tree and the debris, and over time, also the silt. In order to cut the tree down, we need to get wet. My question to you today is, do you need to get in the river? So I want to bring some scripture and let God unfold something that he revealed to me. And I trust that you'll hear his words, his voice today. You know, I don't normally have titles, and on this Men's Day, the theme is for such a time as this. Well, I want to pinch that theme, and I want to say, it's for such a time as this. It's for such a time as this that you're here today. It's for such a time as this that this particular message is being ministered. It's for such a time as this. In Revelation 22, we have it up there, don't we? Oh, now you can see the rest of my message. Told you it's hard being me. Then the angel showed me a river of water of life. You need to grab that bit. It was water, but it was life. As clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. And it goes on to say that there will be no need of the light of the sun, because the light of the Lamb will shine. This is a picture of the restoration of the beginning. In the beginning, God created, and he created this garden where there would be life. And life in all its fullness. And here we have in Revelation is an illustration of that restoration. And we talk about a river, and we talk about a tree, and we talk about life, and we talk about sustaining, and we talk about restoring. In Matthew 12, 33, it says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. And if we are to be trees that are planted by a stream, we need surely to be those that are fed on that clean water of life. We need to be a people that are planted by the river. And at times, I believe we need to be a people that will get into that river. The river talks about the Spirit of God. It talks about the provision of God. It talks about his cleansing of our sin. It talks about him washing us away. It talks about every good gift, doesn't it? That's what it means when we hear these illustrations of the water of life. Jesus says, I am the water of life. I am the bread of life. Come and feed from me. It's about that washing afresh. It's about that illustration that I want to bring across to us today. That maybe today you need to get in that river. Maybe there's a tree that you need to cut up. Maybe it's not just for me. Maybe it's just not for us as a church in a corporate body. But maybe it's for such a time as this. Maybe you've been like that silt. You've ended up on dry ground. And what happens with dry ground is when there's moisture around it, it allows the seeds to grow. And sometimes it's not good seeds, sometimes it's weed. But when we allow the river of God to flow afresh, when we get into our circumstances, when we're prepared to get wet, and we say, Lord, I want to use the prayer that you've given me. I want to use the sword of the Spirit. There's nothing sharper than that, is there? A handsaw is okay, a chainsaw is great. But there's nothing like the sword of the Spirit that will cut. And so I want to encourage us today. If there's a dryness, if there's debris that's been accumulating over the years, insignificant pieces. That's what got me when I saw this picture. And I had either a phone call a conversation or a text message, I can't remember, of a watering can, and the watering can was full of clean water, but every time it tried to be poured out, there was a blockage in the end. So what was the answer? We had to remove the blockage. Sometimes in my life, I look back and there's some small, insignificant pieces of rubbish. I don't know about you. Just insignificant. A word here, a thought there, an action there, watching this, doing that. There's small pieces of debris in my life. And what's happened is there's been a tree. There's been unbelief. There's been a blockage. There's been unforgiveness. Whatever it may be in our lives that has stopped the water from flowing. Insignificant pieces. But they accumulate, don't they? It's a bit like a magnet. When you drill a hole, if there's a magnet nearby, it will collect all those little pieces of swarf. Insignificant in themselves, but if they're left, they become bigger and bigger and bigger. And then from this illustration of the river, it stops the flow. And that flow represents God's goodness to us. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. Do you want to be blessed? So that I can be a blessing. I want to be a wealthy man. I want to be a wealthy man so that I can give. So that this heart of generosity can grow bigger and bigger and bigger. We heard two testimonies recently, one from Mike, and basically what he was saying was this. Well, what he tried to say was this. Was, even though I walk through the valley, God's with me. That's the sum total of that. Even though bad things happen to good people, God's with me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. He'll bring me through. God is the anchor for my soul in life storms. Michelle, the simplicity of her message was this. God, I want what they've got. And God says, seek first the kingdom, and then you can have these things. Yeah, but let me have them first, and then I'll seek you. No, seek me, then you can have them. This is simplicity of God's word. Sometimes little bits of debris, little thoughts can stop the river from flowing. And John, okay, here we go again. John 4:9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman." Now remember the context of this. They shouldn't relate to each other, let alone a man talking to a woman or a woman talking to the man. They were enemies. "How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So that picture of eternal life that flows from the throne room in Revelation, that picture that God gives us in the beginning of Genesis, that picture of life is what God wants for me and you today. He wants us to get in the river. He wants us to remove the debris, the insignificant pieces. But so often there is one thing. There is one thing that stops us. And you know what that one thing is for you. And I knew what that one thing was for me. And I knew that I needed to get wet. I had to get in. Was I going to get in ankle deep? No, because the water had been dammed and it was blocking backwards. It was becoming stagnant because it couldn't flow. It was full of the rubbish, and sometimes we have to get into that rubbish and into that debris in order to cut away the very thing that's stopping God's river from flowing. And I trust that you'll get this in the sense of all these jumbled up scriptures is life, and life in all its fullness. "I have given them," Jesus said here. "They'll never thirst." My question to myself and to you is, are you thirsty today? Do you want God to give you a drink afresh? In Isaiah 44, verse 3. This is a promise. I will pour water on thirsty land and streams on dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. God wants to quench our thirst. He wants to rejuvenate the dry ground, and he wants to bless you so that you can be that blessing to those around you. So, for such a time as this, have you been in a dry and barren land? Yet you can see the river flowing around you. Maybe today is that day where you say, Lord, I want to drink afresh. Lord, I want to cut away the rubbish in my life that you may flow. In Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come. Here's an invitation. This is God's invitation. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. That's the waters that we're talking about, the waters that bring life and life in all its fullness. It's God's river. It's God's river. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. It's a free gift. We heard it in the scripture beforehand. It's a free gift. It's a gift of God. Like any gift, Tom and Tracy were just talking to me as they came in, and they was talking about Christmas. Sorry, guys. Christmas. But we give and receive gifts, don't we? And when we care about someone, we give them a gift. Question. Would you prefer, if you gave me a gift, I'm not hinting, by the way, but my birthday's around December as well, but if you gave me a gift and I didn't receive it with the heart that you gave it, would you be disappointed? Well, let me answer that the other way. I would. If I gave you a gift and misery was on your face and it was like, I've already got 3 pairs of socks, thank you. It wouldn't make me feel good, would it, you? The answer is no, it wouldn't. But when God gives you a gift, he comes in the fullness of what the scripture talks about, the fullness of that river and that restoration and that purity and that goodness and that holiness. He comes and says, son, daughter, I'm giving you this gift. Come and drink if you are thirsty. Come to the waters. It doesn't matter if you have no money. Come and buy. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. And it's for such a time as this. In Matthew 10, verse 7. As you go, Jesus says, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leprosy. Those that have leprosy. Drive out the demons. Freely you have received and freely give. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to us now. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals. In other words, God's going to provide. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for a worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. In other words, the scripture here is saying, when you go, when a place is deserving of it, pray peace. Pray prosperity. Pray that the river will flow. You see, this message is not just for us so that we can be blessed. It's so that we can take something, that we can allow God to restore something, that we can allow the river to flow in our lives, that we may be river to other people, that where we go, we can truly pray that God will bless them, that God will encourage them, that God will open the floodgates of prosperity. Prosperity isn't just about finances, it's about well-being. During worship today, I was starting to get concerned about what was happening inside of me, because I was reminded afresh that the enemy comes to rob, steal, and destroy. And I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with that. He's come to rob, steal, and destroy. God has come to reveal, to restore, to bring revelation, to bring his river that flows. But there are times in our lives, in our communities, in our families, in our circumstances, in our situations, in our health and in our finances, that there's a big log. There's a big tree in the way of God's blessing. I don't know about you, but I want to get rid of that today. I want to say, Lord, come by the word of your Spirit and just cut that situation up. Lord, bring restoration into my heart. Bring reconciliation into my heart. Lord, flood me afresh and wash me clean that I may be who you've called me to be. In John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, thanks, Lord, for justifying my attitude, let everyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Didn't he? He says, if you're thirsty, come. But slightly louder than that. Why did he do it? You know, when you look at the way things are designed in those days, when you look at a Roman theatre, apparently it's designed in such a way that you can speak in a normal voice and everybody hears it. Jesus was out on the sea and he was ministering to thousands of people and they all heard it. See, God's voice, he doesn't have to shout. His Spirit can whisper in your heart today. But he said this in a loud voice. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. There's a river that God has for me and you, and he wants it to flow. And that river will cleanse and clothe. It will restore. It will repair. But we have to choose to let it flow. Or as that great prophet who penned that song in Frozen, we need to let it go. Some of you will get that. I know it's bad, isn't it? We need to let it go. We need to let God come and do the work that he wants to do. In Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. See, these are not my words. It's not me saying it's a free gift. All those that have no money. So often in life, I meet people, and maybe you was one of them. Maybe you are one of them. I certainly was. Someone who thought, well, I can't do this because I haven't earned it. How can God really use me because I'm not clever enough? How can God really speak to me because I can't hear him? How can I make a difference in church life because I can't do this? I haven't given enough into the offering. I can remember that very thought some years ago where we was taking an offering, my first church, taking an offering up for building work, and I had no money. And I said, Lord, I can't do nothing. I have no money. Yet he would have said to me, come, those that have no money, come and drink. My gift is still for you. You don't have to buy it. Did you know that? It's not about how much you put in these bags that determines how blessed you are. The overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. And when God gives to you, if you know him, you want to give back to him. That's a different sermon. But it's not dependent on how much you give. It's how much you want his water to flow through you. Because God will give you what you want to the measure. God wants to overflow in your life and in my life afresh today. That's why I believe he reminded me of the picture he gave me when my life seemed to be going collapsing into a heap, if I'm honest with you. Where you look around me in the natural and go, God, I don't understand this. What's happening? What are you doing? And then all he did was show me a picture of a river with a winding, flowing stream that's going through. And then suddenly there's silt, and on that silt there's weeds, and then on that weeds there's a branch, a tree, a blockage, and then tiny bits of debris, insignificant debris was accumulating, and then he says, go and cut the tree down. What answer is that? But when we look through God's word, it talks about a river. It also talks about waters that have gone stagnant. When you look at stagnant water, it smells, doesn't it? And nothing grows. There's something overwhelming, I believe, when we grab hold of what God means through his word when he talks about crystal clear water. It's flowing directly from the throne room. It brings us back into a restoration project from the beginning, God said, this is good. And now he says, this is good. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth, a new Jerusalem. There'll be no need for the light of the sun or the moon because the radiance of the Lord Jesus Christ will shine. Yet he is saying that we can come now. Because who's the bride? We are. Right answer. There's no tricks here. We are the bride. The Spirit of God and the bride. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and us, we say, come. The one who hears, say, come. Let the one who is thirsty say, come. I don't know about you, but I'm thirsty. Come, Lord, come. The one who wishes to take this free gift. Can I say to the one who's thinking, I don't deserve this, because I'm not. Can I say to you, God says, come. You don't have money, you haven't earned it, you can't buy it, come and receive it. This gift of the water of life. Can I say to the one who might be thinking, but you don't know my story. Jesus says, come. Because there's lots of debris in your life that are insignificant in themselves. And the only reason they're a problem to you at this moment, and I'm not even sure if I'm speaking to someone, but I hope I am. The only reason it's a problem to you is because those small pieces of debris, these small pieces of insignificant word and deed and thought and action have accumulated because of the log, because of the tree. Well, let God encourage you to cut that tree away so the water can flow. In Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all who are weary. So my question is, you don't need to answer it loud, is are you weary? Are you burdened? Well, here's the answer. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God wants to bring you peace. God wants you today, I believe, to let the river flow afresh in your life. Time for being on dry ground is over. It's for such a time as this. It's for such a time as this. Romans 10, 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, that is, will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from themselves? Saved from this world of sin? Saved from the darkness? Saved from the stagnant waters of life, saved from ourselves, if we allow God's river to flow afresh in our lives. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So this is good news that we preach, that we proclaim, that we prophesy, that we take God's word, God's prophetic word, and we speak it out. But anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So maybe you can call on his name where you are. Say, Lord, come and and you know what happens? This is the whole picture of salvation. We are dead in our transgressions, the Bible said. If you're a Christian, I'm preaching to the converted. We're dead in our transgressions. Our sins are like filthy rags. Conjures up a not very pleasant picture within itself. And yet the word says this, that when we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, he comes and he washes us. And that's the Spirit of God that comes to cleanse us. And we are born again of his Spirit. The Spirit of God has washed over us. Just as there's a picture in the Old Testament. And this is just a thought. There's a picture in the Old Testament where God says there's going to be a darkness that's coming. There's going to be an angel of death, of destruction. And I want you to take the sacrificed lamb. I want you to take the hyssop and dip it into the blood that's in the bowl. And I want you to apply it over the doorpost of your home, and the avenging angel, the darkness, will pass over. Well, in the New Testament, it says Jesus is our Passover lamb. He has sacrificed his blood. So by faith, we can apply that blood to our lives so that the Spirit of God can wash over us. Not the angel of death. The angel of death cannot touch us. Oh, death, the Bible says, where is your sting? Because we've been washed afresh. Maybe today is for such a time as this that you've come to church, so that you can receive that gift of life. Anyone who calls on his name will be saved. That's you and that's me, and it's a free gift. You don't need to pay for it. You don't need to earn it. You just need to receive it. You just need to receive it. In Titus 3, verse 1. Sorry, I can't speak. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle towards everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, the renewal by the Holy Spirit. So remember, they're not my words. They're his words. By the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, a freshness that can come, who he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And that's what the picture I'm trying to bring today. That this is a trustworthy saying. Scripture tells us this. And I want you to stress these things. In other words, I want you to really let people know, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. So God wants you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. He wants the river of his grace to come and wash away the insignificant bits of debris that have been allowed to accumulate because of the tree in our lives. Let's let the Spirit of God come afresh and cut that tree so that river may flow, that you may not stand on dry ground any longer after today, that you may be in the river and be in that river of life. 1 Corinthians, are you okay, by the way? 1 Corinthians 6:9. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, or the idolaters, or the adulterers, or men who have sex with men, or thieves, or greedy, or drunkards, or slanderers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. This is the bit I wanted to share with you. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. You see, there's nothing that God can't do. Sometimes Christians can be so judgmental that we can look at somebody and we can point a finger, we can see a speck, and there's a plank, or in this case, there's a tree in our own eye. And yet there were men and women that walked closely with God, walked with Jesus Christ. And he says, such as some of you were, but you were washed. God can wash anything if we'll take that free gift. And maybe you can be life to someone else this year, and you can introduce them to the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. In Acts 22, verse 16. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name. So I use this portion of scripture not to manipulate us, but just to simply say, what are we waiting for? Don't physically get up, because I haven't finished. Get up, wash your sins away. How do we do that? We just say, God, come. We don't need to go on a course. There's a 10-week course into how to be sanctified. No, there's a gift. God's going to give it to you today. Just call, Lord, fill me afresh. Come and wash me clean. And he will. And his word will take away the logs. He'll take away the debris. He'll take away the dry ground so you can stand in the river. And you can let his blessings flow into your life for the purpose of being good news to someone else. You see, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say, Sandro, God's going to bless you. Do you know why? So that you can bless others. Not so that you can have, that you can give. And I can use many other names. God's going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. He's going to bless me, amen to that, so that I can be a blessing. But I need to get off the dry ground and get back into the river. I need to ask God afresh to come and wash me. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. And he led me through the water that was ankle deep. Now, when I put this scripture into my notes to simply articulate it to you, God reminded me of something he said to me through Jackie Norman over 20-odd years ago. She came up to me, didn't know me very well at the time, and she said, Andrew, do you want to be ankle deep? And I said, I want to swim. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I know what it means now. I want to be in the middle of God's plans and purposes so that his water of life can consume me and wash away continually because it flows. Because in Revelation it says that the river flows, and as it flows, it takes away my sin. It takes away the debris. But I just don't want a little bit. I want it up here. I want to swim in God's river. And he says, then he led me through the north gate, and he led me round the outer side of the gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. The man went eastward with a measuring line, and in his hand he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through the water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000. But now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, Son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. Do you see this? We often pray this prayer. We say, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear. Well, my challenge to me and to you afresh today is, do you see this? Do you see what God is saying? My people have committed two sins. It says in Jeremiah 2:13. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. In other words, they've left my plans and purposes, the spring of living water, and they've tried to do it their way, is what God is saying here. They've tried idols of their own, other ways of containing water, but they're just broken pots. They can't hold the water, they leak. Today, for such a time as this, We could recommit our lives. We could rededicate what God is saying in us and through us and say, Lord, come, let your river flow. Jeremiah 17:7 says this. There's always good news in the Bible. The Bible is not doom and gloom. Did you know that? Because the gospel means good news. So this is a message of reconciliation, restoration. It's a good message that should bring life and not death. It says here in Jeremiah 17:7, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. My question, my answer, and my question to myself, and hopefully your answer will be yes. Do you trust in the Lord? But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. We sing the song, don't we? My confidence is in the Lord, the hope of my salvation. Confidence in him. Not confidence in our ability. We can't do it. When I drove out of those gates over a year ago, and I said, God, I can't do this. That's when he showed me this picture. But for me to break up the tree, I needed to get in the water myself. In amongst all the muck and the dirt and the debris. Take a chainsaw, cut the tree, and then there's a suddenly. Sometimes in your life, if you want to see the fruit of what God has for you, you've got to get in amongst the dirt and the debris. You've got to get in amongst the closet in your prayer life. You've got to get in amongst the murk and the mire, the circumstance and the situation. And then let the word of God come and just cut that log. Cut that tree so that his river may flow afresh in your life. Because my heart and our heart as leadership in this church is that you are blessed. We want you to be blessed. We want you to be a planting. They will be like trees planted by water. Living water. Fresh, clean water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, when the dryness comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. So even when there seems to be a barren period in your life, if you are planted by the river, your roots will go into the river and you will take your sustenance from the river, from the water of life. So when Mike shared his testimony, he was on the banks of the river and his roots were in that river. So when the dryness, the barrenness of life came, his roots were in the river. Does that make sense? He could draw on God's strength, on God's sustenance. So for such a time as this, can I invite Sarah to come back as I just share my... just did share my final scripture. Faster. But, you know, I trust that has not been my words, but his word that you've heard today. I trust that you being rooted and established in love will have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how long, how high, how wide, how deep the love of Christ is. Because if you grasp how long and wide and deep the love of Christ is, you'll accept his free gift for such a time as this. You've come to church today. I don't use these words very often. You know that I don't. But I want to say today, you've come to church today for such a time as this. Such a time as you can hear that you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been clothed. For such a time as this, that you may be reminded that you've stood not always in the water, but you've stood on dry ground, watching everything else going around you. And there's been a period of your life where there's been a tree that has been allowed to fall, and the small, insignificant pieces of dirt and debris have accumulated. And God says today, come with no money and buy. Thirsty, come and drink. So as we finish with a hymn, then maybe today you can just say to the Lord, Father, I do come. Fill me afresh. Lord, I take your word, which is the sword of the Spirit, and I cut away the tree in my life that's stopping me from swimming in your river. And Lord, I invite you to come afresh and wash and cleanse and clothe me, that I may be who you've called me to be, that I may be good news to someone else. Lord, I pray today that you'll bless me, that I may bear fruit. Lord, just as the tree bore fruit every month, may I bear fruit every month. May I take the gifts that you've given me, the talents that you've given me, the finances that you've given me, the mind that you've given me, and may I bless others with it, Lord. May I be salt and light. May I be water that will flow through my home, my streets, my neighborhood. Father God, I pray today that you continue to work in my life and through my life. Lord, I pray today that you would come and do a new work for such a time as this. Lord, I pray today that I would stand in the river, and as it starts to flow, it will wash around my ankles and up to my knees. Lord, I'll allow it to go waist high. And Lord, I want to swim. I want you to wash me, cleanse me, clothe me. I ask this in your name, Jesus, because I'm covered by your blood. And all those that want to said, amen. Stand up and share where you are if you want.